Connection by C.D. Reese. Narrated by Joe Raylan and Christian Fox. Take my hand, my love. On sinews of air we tread, aught but distance our guide. With no tempo to our gait, no endpoint drawn, neither plot nor plan. By the thorns of a compass rose, we bound toward the horizon. Chapter 1. Monica. Dr. Thorensen had put up his Christmas lights on December 1st, 2 weeks ago, decorating his wood detailing and redwood fence with tiny multicolored dots. No fat inflatable snowmen, no Santas, no elves, just classy little spots hanging around the edges of his property, like a joyful fucking aura. It was too early to ring Dr. Thorensen's bell. He was a single guy in his mid-30s, and it was Tuesday morning. He was probably at his office or the hospital, maybe nuzzling one of the women I saw come around periodically. But I was losing my shit. I couldn't wait another minute, and I'd noticed he kept odd hours. I saw him through the glass in a polo and jeans carrying a coffee cup. When the door opened, he looked grave. "Monica, am I blocking your driveway?" Then he looked at me. I must have been a sight. "Are you okay?" "Not really." "What happened?" I felt silly, as if I'd become a story he'd tell his friends. I'd become the annoying girl next door. He told me once that he didn't put an MD license plate on his car because he wanted to avoid random advice seekers and neighbors with a sniffle. I laughed with him over the story of the Montessori mother two doors down who wanted him to look at her son's scraped knee. So I'd avoided ringing his bell for 5 long, lonely, friendless days. But he was a cardiologist. And when Santa brought me a gift, I figured I shouldn't try to cram it back up the chimney. One long sentence poured out. "I didn't want to bother you. I mean, it's not like he can't afford the best doctors in the world, but I'm afraid to tell them what I think or that I'll look crazy, so I was wondering if you had privileges at Sequoia Hospital?"
"I do."
I feared his next words would be something like, "Sorry, I'm not working right now. I deserve to be at home in peace as much as the next person, and the fact that I spent $250,000 on school doesn't make me public property." But he stepped aside and said, "Come in." I'd never been inside his house. Though I'd always been curious about it, when I finally did see it, I'd barely noticed anything. I'd been blind to details for a week. My brain had somehow narrowed down to what it thought were the only important things. Breathing, worrying about Jonathan, and desire to kill Jessica. But when I passed the living room, flashing lights caught my eye. 3 huge flat-screen TVs were up with a leather chair set positioned to see all of them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?